Thank you, Larry. The first song that he sang, Why Should He Love Me So? In our remembrance time, I turned to that song. I was reminded of that as our brother was speaking, but it's great to see that it was sung anyway. Someone else had given out a song when I was going to, but it's great to hear that song, a tremendous song, a message. Why should he love me so? Meekly to Calvary, cross did he go. But today is traditionally the day we call Palm Sunday, Sunday before we celebrate the Lord's death, his burial, his resurrection, there in the fullness of the prophecy that has been given to us concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to look at these prophetical verse and some other thoughts concerning the Lord Jesus Christ as King. And we're going to look at the kingdom in which the Lord Jesus in his earthly ministry and his teaching spoke much concerning the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. And we want to take a look at some of these thoughts and see what the Lord has for us this morning. Zechariah 9 and verse 9. We're going to begin there. Zechariah 9, verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon a donkey and upon a colt, the foal of a donkey. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. We're going to look at it at this portion that the Lord Jesus is speaking of, and there as he himself fulfills this prophecy. Matthew 21, and we'll begin reading at verse 1. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethpage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. If any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, sitting upon a donkey, and a colt, the foal of a donkey. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the donkey and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest. When he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. When we look at this portion, we see that the kingdom of God offered to the nation of Israel. And this is the one thing that the Lord Jesus had offered to Israel. Now, the Lord Jesus knew that Israel was in a backward state spiritually. Israel were going backwards. They were spiritually, they were not in any way in a position to acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ. They rejected him. They rejected him as the Son of God, the Son of Man, and his own people. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. He was rejected of his own people, Israel. And then we see in Hebrews that God again offers to Israel the final call to Israel to repentance. Speaking there to the Hebrews, the Jewish people, that once again they would see that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only sacrifice for our sin. If you reject him, his sacrifice, there's no other way for Israel to have forgiveness of sin. They must repent and recognize Christ as the Messiah, as the Savior of Israel. And so there were two calls to Israel. And I'm reminded that they rejected him and said, away with him, crucify him. We'll not have this man to reign over us. He was rejected. But yet the Lord gave a last call to Israel. And considering and looking at the priesthood and all these things of the tabernacle and so on. And yet they rejected the message. So we see the picture here this morning as we've been reading and the prophecy from Zechariah concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see that the Lord Jesus sent two of the disciples to go to the village, and he would find this donkey tied and a colt with her, a mother and a colt. And they were to tell the people to loose them and to bring them to him, that he had need of them. And if that was what they were to say to the owners of them, was that the Lord had need of them. And we see how the Lord Jesus Christ, and in his humility, he was looking for a lowly beast, a colt, that he might ride upon. He didn't look for a gallant horse, an animal with strength, but he was looking for an animal that was meek, speaking of the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ, in this time, was a great picture, as he pictured to Israel the humility and the fact that he was obedient to God in this at this time and all of his life. But as he pictures him rise into Jerusalem and speaking to Israel, his emphasis was on his meekness, in his humility. And we see he in verse 5, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and lowly of heart. The Lord Jesus Christ was a perfect example of meekness. He was the one who When he came to this world, he came as a servant. He came as one. A smoking flax will he not break. He'll not lift up his voice in the street, Isaiah 42. But he would be humble. He would be meek. He'd be lowly in heart. You know, as a king, that's directly the opposite, isn't it? A king is one who, you know, is boastful and presents himself as one of a great man of authority and so on. But that was not true with the Lord Jesus Christ. He was meek. He was lowly. And he was sitting on a donkey, and one who pictured, again, his meekness. Behold, thy king cometh, the king cometh unto thee. When we think of the fact of the kingdom that God is going to set up here on earth, Acts chapter 1, let's look at that verse there for a minute. Acts chapter 1. And verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? He said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. They were looking for the kingdom to be set up. Israel was under the rule of the Roman Empire, and they wanted to be delivered from their tyranny. And they had hopes that the Lord Jesus would be the one who would deliver them, to set up the kingdom, to restore the kingdom to Israel. But the Lord spoke very clearly and said it's not in his power. It's in the Father's power, and it's not for them to know the times and the seasons that only God knows. And you know that as we look in the life of the Lord Jesus and his obedience to the Father, he always said, I and my Father are one. And I do that which pleases him. And it was, he spoke to them and said, it's in the Father's power to restore all things. And they spake there of the kingdom of God. The Lord Jesus said to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born again, when he came having salvation, and he came to declare to man that man is a sinner, and that man needs a Savior, one who can forgive their sin and to redeem them and to bring them into the kingdom of God. The kingdom in which the Father in his own time will set up. He is the one. And I trust that you those that are here this morning have been redeemed and have been born again by the Spirit of God, born from above, that you know Christ is your Savior and be part of the kingdom of God. We see that the aspect as a king and the fact of the Lord Jesus as he rode into Jerusalem, that the message he declared let's look over in chapter 23 and verse 37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them, which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her children under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate, for I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth, till ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. This is the message that the Lord Jesus presented to the multitudes that were there at that time. And as he rode into Jerusalem, and as they put his garments on the donkey, and as they put them in the way, they cut down branches from palm trees and other large trees and strawed them in the way. Here's the king coming, the presentation of the great king, the one who was prophesied to come to Israel. And we see the excitement, the triumph, the enthusiasm of the people as this scene unfolds. And he declared to them the message concerning their spiritual condition and the kingdom of God. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets. Jerusalem, Israel, rejected the message of the prophets. Remember the parable of the vineyard and how the householder had taken care of the vineyard and had the servants, and the servants were sent, but they were beaten and left behind. They were rejected. And then the Lord Jesus said, as he unfolds in that parable, the fact that he would send it, the father, the householder's picture of the father, would send his only son. They will reverence my son. He's an heir. He's one who is heir to the throne. They will reverence him, but instead they killed him. Picture there the Lord Jesus Christ as a last invitation to Israel to receive salvation. And again, as we reminded that the Lord Jesus is the one that could bring redemption to Israel. Israel is in a backward condition spiritually. Israel is far from God, and they are stooped in their own religion, in Judaism, not recognizing the Messiah, but looking at the commandments and the things that they have put together, and their own, as they view the Old Testament, you know, the feasts and so on, they fail to see that the fulfillment is found in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he's their Messiah. He's the one that they're to turn to. They killed the prophets and stoned them. He said, I would like to have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens. How he would like to gather them together and to bring them together and to recognize who He is. Just as a hen in the time of storm, and when things around, as the mother hen senses the storm about her, and she gathers her chickens together under her wings to protect them, a place of security, a place where they can feel that they're secure, they're protected. You know, He would love to gather Israel just as that, but they would not. They didn't, and they refused the message that the Lord Jesus brought to them. He would love to have drawn them out of the Roman rule and empire and so on. He'd love to bring them to Himself, and that they might recognize Him. But they rejected Him. But ye would not. And you know, the Lord wants to do the same for you and I, doesn't He? He wants us, as He came, He brought salvation, that we might be saved, and that we would be brought into Him in our life, that we might be covered with His wings as such, that we might see and sense His security, and to sense His protection, and sense the fact that you have that bond, that one bond between us and Christ, and that we're in Christ, we're secure in Him, and nothing will take us away. Nothing will separate us from that relationship that we have with Christ. But you know, there's people that refuse, aren't there? There are people that do not respond. And we see in the world today, the world is in rejection against God. You know, in the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6, He begins the prayer, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now we know that when we look around, we don't have to look too far to see that God's will in light of the kingdom is not in the world today, or not on earth, is it? We're only deceived if we think that the will of God is being carried out to the greatest extent here on earth. We know it's not the will of God that one soul should perish. But for God's will to be carried out, spiritually, this world is far from God, aren't they? Look what's happening in our morals of in our country, and in the news, and other things that only tell us that it's not the will of God in this earth. It's not the will of the Father, but it's the will of man. It's the will of Satan that we see. They would not gather unto the King, unto the Lord Jesus Christ, but they refused the message. And you know that when God's kingdom is set up here on earth, His will be throughout the whole earth. His glory, His will, His holiness, everything will be perfect in the time when He sets up His kingdom. That day hasn't come yet, is it? We need to be careful that we're not living in the will of this world. that we're not giving in to the will of the world. That we need to ask ourselves, as born-again believers, ones who know Christ and seek to live for Him, am I living my life in the will of this world? It can easily happen. But we need to be careful. And we need to realize that the Lord Jesus Christ is the one whom we are to submit to. Do you know, the Lord Jesus prayed, "Thy kingdom come." His heart's desire was for the kingdom to come. He said, "It's in the Father's hands as to the times and the seasons." And as he prayed to the Father, and then he spoke also in his message, "Behold, your house is left unto you desolate." Your house is going to be torn down. The temple will be removed. And it was done, wasn't it, in AD 70 under the Roman Empire. When Israel was, the city was destroyed. And when the people of Israel were scattered throughout the whole world. Today Israel is scattered, aren't they? The Jewish people are scattered in many, many nations of this world. They're scattered abroad. And the house will be less desolate. But we see that many of the Jews today are coming back to Israel. Israel becoming a nation in 1941, declaring their independence and so on. There are signs of Israel returning to the land. But there's a great day coming in verse 39. "For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth until ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." This is going to be the heart salt of Israel. Israel is going to face great tribulation, yet there's great judgments that Israel will face. Nations will be brought against her. And there's great tribulations. And there's going to be a time when Israel is going to echo these words, "Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." They're going to echo those words in looking for him. In Matthew 21, we see there the aspect of the as he rode into Jerusalem, and the multitudes that cried, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." This is a partial fulfillment of those words. As they cried these words, "Hosanna to the Son of David." Hosanna in the Hebrew means "Save, Lord." You know, that's what they wanted him to do, was to save them from the rule of man. But the Son of David, and it speaks there of the fact of the Davidical covenant. The Lord Jesus was the one who was declared king on the throne of David through prophecy. Let's read that in 2 Samuel, 2 Samuel 7, in verse 12. And when the days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. And he shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Here we see that the kingdom of God will be the kingdom of David, which is the kingdom of God, will be occupied again, will establish that kingdom, and there would be a son that would reign on the throne of David. And of course, as we follow the lineage of Christ, so on, right down through, he's the one who was heir to the throne of David, and he would be the king that would reign and rule ultimately over the kingdom. He's the one who would reign and rule in righteousness. All sin would be put down, and judgment would be brought, and then the Lord Jesus would establish his kingdom, which he would reign and rule in righteousness. We have as well, as they rode into Jerusalem, and they cried out, Hosanna to the Son of David, looking for the fact that the king would come and bring them peace from the Roman Empire. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna. Save, Lord. Save us to you in the highest. And the whole city was moved. Who is this? They said. Who is this man? Multitude said that he's just the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Just a little prophet that grew up in Nazareth of Galilee. He was a carpenter's son, but he's declared as the king, positioned as the king. We see the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5. When you read them, you need to keep in mind that those Beatitudes there will be lived out to their fullest in the kingdom time. How the kingdom is to have the characteristics and to have the principles of God's word as the king. And we see that the Lord Jesus spoke much concerning the kingdom of heaven. Our time is about gone. Let's go to Zechariah 14. In verse 16, it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations shall come against Jerusalem, shall even go up from year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and keep the feast of tabernacles. And it shall be that whosoever will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not that have no rain, there shall be the plague, wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that come up to keep the feast of Tabernacles. Feast of Tabernacles, and I won't go into it, but it has twofold in mind: the redemption through Christ Jesus on the cross of Calvary, and then the regathering of the people of Israel, the restored people. Israel will come and gather to the King and worship the King. Not only Israel, but all nations shall come to Jerusalem to worship the King. That's the time of God's regathering together unto the King. He would love to have gathered them under His wings and so on, but He will in this time in Israel's history. So as we think of the fact of the Lord Jesus presenting Himself to Israel, "Thy kingdom come," as the Lord Jesus prayed, He would love to have gathered them together. You know, one day He's going to gather His saints. When the Lord Jesus comes back, and He's going to gather those who have received Him as Savior, who are redeemed through the precious blood of Christ, who knows what it is to be brought into a relationship with Him and to know Christ as Savior. We're going to be gathered together when the trump shall sound and the shout is heard. We're going to be raptured up, taken up. We're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. What a great gathering time that will be for the believers, for the church, as we one day will be with Him throughout all eternity. And we're going to be with Him in judging as King over the earth.